NBA second half starts tonight. The storyline you're tracking. Here's one. LeBron James out tonight versus Golden State. Ooh. Here's another. Jason Tatum fielding face of the NBA questions. Here's another. Durant responding to Barkley. And another. Doc Rivers to a very good-looking panelist here about how hard it is to coach in the NBA with the Bucks. Or maybe you'll pick an actual game that you're looking forward to in the second half of the season. Let's go around the horn.
He's getting
$40 million. That kind of softens the blow.
Good job at advice, though, getting to the scoop there.
I agree with that, Frank.
How about this? Will Boston run away with the Eastern Conference? Or how the West will be won between Minnesota, OKC, the Clippers, your Nuggets, Woody Page? Two storylines around gameplay and not just playing games. But I'm not going to yuck your yum. If you're tracking drama, go for it. Number one storyline of the second half. Around the horn to you, Frank Isola.
Well, I'm fascinated by Minnesota and Oklahoma City to see how they do. And I know a bunch of the panelists want me to be a homer and talk about the New York Knicks. But for me, I'll be really self-serving. I got a chance to talk to Doc Rivers in Indiana. And I think it's the Milwaukee Bucks. They fired their coach with 30 wins. Doc takes over. He's coached 10 games. They're 3-7. They've made excuses about the schedule, the travel. Let's remember, they got knocked out of the first round last year as the number one seed. They make a big trade to get Damian Lillard. A lot is on Doc, but a lot's on Giannis and also Damian Lillard to make a big run here in the second half and in the playoffs.
Justin Tinsley, number one storyline you're tracking, second half. NBA season.
Is this the year Boston finally gets it done? When I look at this team, no one has a better top six than the Boston Celtics. They're 43 and 12 coming out the All-Star break. They're the best team in the league in terms of offensive efficiency. They're third in defensive efficiency, rather. But there's still a lot of questions about this team. Will the health of Porzingis and Horford hold up through a postseason run? This is really a three-point dependent team. And honestly, man, when I look at them, they don't attack the rim at all. So they're a great team, but they're not a fear-invoking great team. And Jason Tatum fielded face of the league questions. Well, guess what? Over the next 4 months, if this is what you really want, Jason, leave no doubt. It has to be unimpeachable. If you're going to be the face of the league, you have to mash everybody else's faces in.
I want to have a follow-up on that. But first to Woody Page, your number one storyline you're tracking second half of the NBA.
Yeah, well, I knew Frank was going to talk about the Knicks, and we know that Bill's going to talk about the Lakers and the Clippers. Justin, I don't know where you are, so I don't know what team you can really talk about.
But I never know where you are.
The question was about the second half of the regular season. You're talking about the NBA Finals already. Mm-hmm. We're not there. It is obviously 1-4 in the Western Conference. And I have continued to say that I thought the Clippers would take over at the end of February. But you look at the Timberwolves schedule the rest of the season, they have dominance at home. They're 17-10 in home games against visiting teams. They've already played the toughest part of their schedule. So I could see the Timberwolves with that big two they have. Actually, if Towns wants to score 50, do it in a real game, not in the All-Star game. But I think that only three games suspend those four teams, and we're going to see just a dogfight the rest of the regular season in the Western Conference. That's the storyline, guys.
I've got Minnesota 19-5 at home, Woody, even better than you said. And on the road, they're as good as anybody as well. We'll go to Bill Plaschke right now. Number one storyline for the second half.
Tony, before getting into this, I got to get something off my chest. I know I'm not like a homer here, but why isn't LeBron playing tonight? LeBron James missed the last game before the All-Star break. He's missing the first game after the All-Star break, yet he played in the All-Star game. I don't understand that. I don't understand where his commitment is. This is a big game.
Well, didn't he tweak something in the All-Star game, right? Isn't that the reporting here?
Well, he shouldn't have. He didn't play the day before the All-Star game. The game last game before. So he knew he was hurt. He knew he was hurt, and he played anyway. I know he's supposed to represent the league, but it just bothers me that he doesn't play. But anyway, the storyline for the second half is the Clippers. They're the best team in the NBA since December. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have not, when they play together, they have not lost a playoff series. When they played the whole series together, this team can steal the championship.
When
is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that topic. But you're tracking the Clippers here. And as Woody said, the Western Conference was top four. And the home court playing through is going to be fascinating. I want to go back
to the Jason Tatum fielding questions both at the All-Star weekend and then with The Athletic saying it's mine to take. Face of the league, Frank Isola. How'd that land with you?
Well, he's a good-looking guy. He's a great player, but the fans decide that. He would be my only thing. He plays for the Boston Celtics. He plays in high-profile games. But most fans, except for those outside of Boston, root for the Celtics to lose. So I don't know if you can be that guy. I don't know who it's going to be. Can it be an international player? What about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Canada? I'm not sure who the face of the league is going to be, but whoever it is, to Justin's point, you need to win.
But there is no face of the league, right? That's just something people say. You're not really vying for that. If you have to make the argument you are you really that to begin with? That's my whole point. We've been horned. We'll move on. Let's talk college football. Nick Saban, soon to be one of you people working for ESPN, sat down with ESPN's Chris Lowe in Tuscaloosa from his office as an advisor still on the campus of Alabama, and he said he wants to be a voice for change in college football. He said that college football now is not college football as we knew it. He said there are no student athletes. Bill Plaschke around the horn on Saban on college football not being college football anymore.
Yeah, he's right. College football is not as we knew it. It's better than we knew it. The ratings for the championship game this year were up the best in the last 4 years. People are loving the game. They're loving the excitement of the game. Nick Saban is speaking from the vantage point of a former coach who retired because didn't want to deal with the NIL and the players getting paid. But that's a way of life now. And he talks about players changing teams because they want to get their money. That's what coaches have done forever. The players are just finally getting their share. There's nothing wrong with that. Nick Saban, he can't be the voice of college football or the conscience because he comes from the vantage point of a former coach. He's too involved.
Right, guys. Sola, how'd you hear Saban?
Well, I mean, Bill, I think that people are always going to watch these national championship games because they're always rooting for the front of the jersey. And I think Nick Saban, obviously, is one of the all-time great coaches. I think his heart is in the right place. My only thing would be the product, I think, is pretty good. I think he's really referring to NIL and the transfer portal. And I don't know how you can control that, but there does seem to be an issue with everyone just leaving whenever they want. And, you know, some teams can afford to pay a lot of players. I think that's what he's probably touching on. And it is funny coming from coaches who, if you coach at Alabama, you're making a lot more than some of your contemporaries are. But I think everyone realizes there is an issue here with NIL and the transfer portal. It's great that everyone's getting paid, but there needs to be some type of system, a better system put in place.
Justin Tinsley?
Yeah, like when Saban talks, everyone's going to listen. He's the greatest of all, greatest of all time. So his words carry weight. Now, what change comes about, that remains to be seen. But I want to respond to something that Adam Schefter posted. He mentioned that many coaches within college don't want to coach within the college ranks anymore. They want these NFL jobs. Look, does college football need change? Of course it does. But here are two things that are never owed to anybody, especially in college football. Money and power. They're not loyal to anybody but themselves. Money and power, that is. So like, when I hear that, it reeks of like, oh, let me take my ball and go home. Because guess what? There's only but so many jobs within the NFL. There's less jobs in the NFL than there is in college. And when I look at it, it may be a good thing. Maybe, you know, cleanse college football of some of these coaches that don't want to be here. Bring in a new generation of college football coaches that understand the landscape. Because guess what? Much like dial-up internet, we're not going back to the old days of college football. That's not coming back at all.
Woody Page.
Saban wants to be the voice now. Why wasn't he the voice 3 or 4 years ago talking about what was going on in college football? Because he was taking advantage of it. That's the case. Sweeney at Clemson years ago said, I'll pay the players out of my salary. That's what they should have been doing, is giving them the money across the board rather than paying 10 players of the 90.
Make them employees, I think is what you're saying here, Woody Page. And that's been an argument that has been echoed by
absolutely
many.
Absolutely. His voice is going to be like the four of ours or the five of us, because he's going to be on game day.
No, no.
You think his voice is going to be
he's going to be Nick Saban.
He's going to be in those Geico commercials.
I appreciate Woody. I mean, he's going to be Nick Saban, as Tinsley said, the face and the greatest coach of all time. Plash, I'll let you back in.
You got to understand, the players getting paid are only the top 5 to 10% of the players. 80%, 90% of the players are still playing college football. They're still student athletes. We're talking about the best of the best. There's nothing wrong with them getting paid what they're worth. There's nothing wrong with them moving around the country to find the right home for them. The coaches need to adjust. Justin's right. They need to adjust.
Right, guys, tell the last word after.
And again, you could say a lot of these older coaches don't want to deal with it, but when you have Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Jay Wright, Nick Saban. As Justin mentioned, a lot of coaches don't even want to be coaching college football anymore. There is an issue.
Do you believe that?
Hang on.
Frank.
When you're getting good coaches, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the product.
Well, let you finish. Right.
Coaching does matter.
So you believe there's a coaching issue? People don't want. Are they going to be taking volunteers now to coach in college football? Is that what it's going to come down to?
I don't think so.
No.
You never have to look for volunteers in college football.
I'm following Brandon Marcello. I hope I maybe Marcello, Marcello, 24/7, and he said 22 college coaches joined the NFL this cycle. 15 NFL coaches joined the college jobs this cycle, and then 7 more came from other professional leagues to join it. So that's even. 22 in, 22 out. We'll take a break. Buyers till next.
Great point, Tony.
That's Marcello, not me.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from above the Heineken River Deck.
No disrespect to Kevin. Kevin's a follower. He's not a leader. He's proven that on all his stops.
I'm not as charismatic as my peers. I don't have a personality that's like fit for TV like my peers. You gotta sell what you're doing as well. And I haven't sold it enough, you know? And I feel like, I don't feel like I need to. I don't feel like I want people to call me a leader, but I also don't want people to say I'm not one either.
Frank, how do you hear Durant there? What you buy, what you sell?
I mean, there's so many different forms of leadership. A guy that bounces around team to team that doesn't seem to be the characteristics of a leader. When he was on the Brooklyn Nets, could he have done more to maybe step in when Kyrie and James Harden weren't getting along? But on the court, when it comes to playing, being unselfish and defending and doing everything the right way and competing, then he's a leader.
Okay, but you are picking up what Barkley's putting down a little bit with the changing teams. And Bill Plaschke, how did you hear Durant respond to Barkley in a matter of speaking?
I've covered several NBA finals, Tony, and every one of those, the MVP was a leader. He is a two-time finals MVP. That should be the end of the discussion. You can lead on the court. You can lead a lot of different ways. He's in some ways, he's the ultimate leader.
Woody Page?
I'm agreeing with Barkley. I don't think a leader, and with a leader doesn't change teams all the time. A leader is LeBron James. I think we know the definition of a leader when we see
him. Well, he's changed teams before, but he's been on a number of teams.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
And he didn't play against Golden State.
I don't know why you keep on going back to that. Go ahead, Woody, finish up.
One of the most accomplished scorers in the history of the NBA and a great player, but not a leader like a LeBron James or a guy in Boston that we talked about earlier.
Jason Tatum is more of a leader to you than Kevin Durant. This is Justin Tinsley, I turn to you.
God rest his soul. My grandfather, a former college football coach, used to tell me all the time, leadership is like a fingerprint. It's going to look different on everybody else. Wow. And Kevin Durant, ESPN ranked the NBA 75. They had Kevin Durant ranked at 12th. You're not a follower if you're the 12th best basketball player of all time. And when he steps in that locker room, when he steps on that court, you notice. And if you're a teammate of Kevin Durant, you look at him like, this guy gives us a chance to win on any given night. That's leadership right there.
I thought this was a breath of fresh air from Durant when he was admitting everybody's personalities, introverted, extroverted, are different. You know, you can get critical of him for how he responds to people on Twitter, maybe. maybe. But this honesty with himself, I thought was impressive. We'll move on.
Hard-hitting questions from his agent.
Buy or sell to settle down. Mahomes rules. Here's Antonio Pierce on Max Crosby's podcast.
We got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules. So you remember when Jordan was going through it with the Pistons? The Pistons used to whoop his. Anytime he came to the hole, elbows, filling them, love taps. We touched them. We in the head, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'm touching you. So I show those guys Jordan getting his whooped.
Bill, buy or sell the Mahomes rules, as you hear from Antonio Pierce.
On Christmas Day, the Raiders pinned the biggest upset of Mahomes' career on him. 10 quarterback hits, 4 sacks, and they didn't score an offensive touchdown. They work. The Mahomes rules works. I'm buying it.
Woody Page?
I'm also buying it because every coach that I've talked to over his career, and there have been a number of them in Denver during that, has said to me, you got to outscore the Chiefs. That's not really the case. You got to play defense against Mahomes, meaning that you hold him down. And that's exactly what the Raiders did in that final meeting.
We're really putting a lot of stock in this one win in December. Go ahead, Justin Tinsley.
The first rule about the Mahomes rules is you never talk about the Mahomes rules. He loves stuff like this, and I love Pierce and Crosby restoring that energy to the Raiders, but context matters. The Jordan rules were in place before Michael Jordan won his first championship. Patrick Mahomes already got 3 of them things.
Frank Isola.
Bingo, Justin. And here's the thing. Baltimore and the 49ers also did a pretty good job on Patrick Mahomes. If you're Antonio Pierce, you already have the job. Why are you going public with that? Because you know what Michael Jordan and Patrick Mahomes are going to do? They're going to put that in the back of their head, and they're going to take your little rules and throw them out the window the next time you play them. Not smart to poke the bear on that one.
Buy or sell 3. Goals number 50 and 51 for Auston Matthews last night. His absurd season continues. We're only 55 games into the season. 51 means the pace for Matthews right now is 76 goals. That would be the 5th most ever. Only Gretzky, Lemieux, and Brett Hull above. Woody, this is ludicrous to even say, but I go to you for Luda. Over or under 76 goals for Matthews?
I'm going to take the over, although my wise guy in Vegas tells me the actual over-under is 75.5.
Okay.
That's a tough call. But he's going to end up being the best U.S.-born player in the history of the National Hockey League. You think about it. There haven't been that many. Madonna maybe stands out more than anybody else. But, yeah, I think he's going to do it. He's had 9 goals in the last 4 games. Man's on an incredible pace.
Justin Tinsley, over-under 76.
I'm taking the over because this guy is that good, and he's only 26 years old. He had 15 multi-goal games in 55 games. That's the most since 1992-93, and there's a lot of crossover appeal in this guy. He needs to be celebrated far beyond hockey circles because his talent is that rare, and he will go down as the greatest American hockey player of all time.
Right, guys, Sola.
I think he's going to be just under, and as everyone knows, the big milestone in hockey is 50 and 50. Gretzky did it 3 times. When Mike Bossy did it with the Islanders, it had been 36 years since Maurice Richard had done it.
50 and 50 is a big deal.
With the Canadiens.
Cam Neely did it about 30 years ago. It hasn't been done 50 and 50 in some time. This is 50 and 55 team games, 54 games for Matthews Plaschke. Can he get 76 is the over-under? Let's see.
I know. It's going to go under. Too few players have done this. It's too difficult. But he will be the best player ever, U.S.-born player. It's also very cool. He's Mexican-American. And that opens the whole game up to the Latino community. That's a very cool thing about it.
Right, so that was unanimous, the best American-born. I think Medano's in that conversation. Chris Chelios, another. Chelios is going to be honored this weekend. Who's coming to the honor? Michael Jordan showed up for Chris Chelios, so you got to have him on the list. A couple other.
Maybe Pippen will be enough.
Okay, thank you, Bill Plaschke and Woody Page. We have a Justin Tinsley, Frank Isola showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Inter Miami 2, Reality Salt Lake nothing. That's how MLS season starts. That's how year two with Messi commences. He set up both goals. And if you're looking at the betting lines, Messi far and away favorite for Golden Boot. Miami far and away favorite to win the cup. They were second to last year, Frank. Could that really be true? Do you believe they're the favorites?
I'm not buying it. Messi's got Copa America this summer. Plus, I watched that game last night. All those Barcelona retirees, Messi, Busquets, Jordi Alba, Luis Suarez. That's a lot of games, a lot of minutes. The season doesn't end until November. I'm not buying it.
Let me tell you, if you have Messi on your team, you have championship aspirations. He didn't come over to Miami just for the weather and the beaches. He came over there to win a title, and when you're there, and when Messi is on your team, that is the only expectation. And the money, yeah. That's a great consolation.
One of my favorite photos,
the Apple money,
when he came over was him shopping at the grocery store to pick up American cereals. He came over for the cereal as well, and well, everything else. And,
It wasn't staged. It wasn't staged.
We'll move on. Last night. College basketball, number 17, Kentucky, up 15 in the second half, but an LSU buzzer beater putback giving the Tigers the win. And across the SEC reverse, Florida, a double-digit lead, blown to Alabama, tied, taking it from the Gators in overtime. Come back, it was more impressive to you, Justin Tisdale.
Yeah, I'm going with the LSU-Kentucky game. I love seeing Angel Reese storm the floor, but that game had the most outrageous moment in sports last night. When John Calipari was asked why he left his presser early, he said Kentucky's next game is an early game. He needed to get ready for it. The next game ain't until Saturday, and it's 4 p.m.
All right. I still have a year.
What are you trying to say? I'm going to go with Alabama, but I will say this about Angel Reese. What are they now? They're probably paying her to attend. That's how popular she's become. She should have stayed on brand. She should have walked up to the Kentucky players
and taught them, the court
and taught them
cool
a little bit.
I hear you. The thing with Calipari post-game, Justin, there's been a thing all year, right? He left once. He had a radio interview to do and all these things.
In
it's
a
been
rush.
A talking point. He's been fleeing post-game quickly. Frank Isola, today's FaceTime, 30 seconds.
Well, once upon a time, a long time ago, I went to a college basketball game. I was a student at Maryland. I went to see number one Georgetown play number one St. John's. Patrick Ewing, Chris Mullen, John Thompson, Lou Carnesecca. Last night, those two teams played in Washington. There were less than 5,000 people there. Caitlin Clark, LSU, South Carolina, Juju Watkins, to just tell you how big the women's game is. By the way, little update on a story where Rick Pitino said I wasn't really insulting those players. Last night he apologized for insulting those players. So I guess all is well and good now at St. John's. They got a win, and Rick Pitino's happy.
Thank you, Frank. Justin Tinsley, a last word for you.
Yeah, I want to celebrate the life of Rosalind Libby. She is the mother of one of my really good friends. She recently passed away. My love and prayers to her family.